Our scripture reading this afternoon comes from the first epistle of Peter. We read the fifth chapter. First Peter, chapter 5. First Peter, chapter 5. Let us hear God's word. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written before, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Congregation, our text for this afternoon is 1 Peter 5, verse 7. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now maybe when you read that text, you think that is a text for certain people. For those people who we pray for on Sunday that are afflicted, and not for everybody. But have you ever met a person who is a carefree person? Maybe you've looked at someone and you've thought, that person doesn't seem to have a care in the world. That young person, they have no worries, no fears, no concerns. That middle-aged man, his family is well, his business is going well, everything seems to be going well, no cares, no concerns. But how well do you know such people you think are carefree without a care? If they were to open up their heart to you and tell you everything inside, wouldn't there be cares? Is there anyone here this afternoon who can say that they never have cares? And therefore, in a sense, a text about cares. is applicable to everybody. But there are also those who may be full of cares, spiritual cares, physical cares. And then that question may come, where do you go with your cares? And if you realize that God is the only one who can help you, then you may have questions. Does God care for me? How may I trust God to care in all my needs? Well, Peter, he addresses those questions. With the Lord's help, we consider casting your cares on God. First, when things weigh on you. Secondly, in prayerful trust. And thirdly, because he cares for you. Casting your cares on God, first when things weigh on you. Peter, in his epistle, in the last chapter, he is giving some final exhortations. And in those first verses, he exhorts the elders, and specifically the office bearers. And then in the later verses, he exhorts everybody. In verse 5, he calls for humility towards each other. And then in verse 6, you see, he calls for humility towards God. There God exhorts, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And that verse 6 is directly connected to verse 7. And therefore, it means that the cares of verse 7 may be a result of the heavy, the mighty hand of God upon you spoken of in verse 6. And that mighty hand of God is God's omnipotent power which cannot be resisted. It is his sovereign will carried out. But it has a special reference to how God brings difficulty and affliction in life. That mighty hand of God comes upon the unconverted as a punishing hand. And if you remain in impenitence, then that mighty hand will one day crush forever. But that hand also comes as an afflicting hand upon his people. That hand brings chastisements into their lives. And that's why when we read of the cares of our text, we have to see behind them the mighty hand of God bringing affliction. The mighty hand of God. Well, that may come in different ways. It may come in ways reported in the bulletin. This morning you see different names mentioned of people you are to pray for. But there also may be ways it comes upon you which are never recorded in the bulletin. And yet they are no less real. Difficulty. To give just a few examples, there are those financial concerns. When you hardly have enough to make do for your family and you wonder how you will manage in the future, or your business is not going well, and then there are all these cares and all these worries. Or there are difficulties of your daily calling. You're very busy at work, or something has gone wrong at work, or the children demand so much from you as mothers and you wonder how will you all manage. You feel so drained and so weak. There are also those sicknesses and pains and weaknesses among us. That disease which you may have struggled with for some years already and it does not disappear. That surgery, that accident, those troubling symptoms you feel which you never used to feel. That trouble breathing or exerting yourself or with your heart. That doctor's report. And how heavy God's hand may come upon some of us in that way. And then those cares may arise. And you worry about the future. And you worry about your loved ones. And you feel you cannot bear what God has laid upon you in the present cares. God's hand may also have come and taken a loved one away in death. And you felt the might of his hand as you sat there powerless beside your loved one. And he was taken away by death. Then those cares arise. That grief. That pain. Whether it was a short time ago or a long time ago. Or you may see your loved one. And you may fear. How long will they still live? Cares. But then there are also those spiritual afflictions which only those in whom the Spirit has worked understand. Think of how David cried out, "Day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah." He felt like a barren wilderness spiritually, without strength, without life. Is that your condition? All is bleak because God's hand weighs upon you and everything seems so dark and so desolate. And maybe with the psalmist in Psalm 38 you sing, "Thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin." What an affliction. Perhaps one of the deepest and one of the most painful afflictions a person can go through. And then those anxieties, which we sang of from Psalm 77, "My heart inquired with anxious care, will God forever spurn? Shall we no more His favor see? Will mercy ne'er return? Forever shall His promise fail? Has God forgotten grace? Has He withdrawn His tender love? In anger hid his face." Anxious care. The chapter also speaks of another affliction. By the devil, who goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And then verse 9 says that this is an affliction. The Lord allows the devil to assault and to afflict those evil thoughts and those temptations and those attacks. And how many cares they may stir up in the heart. If you have never experienced these spiritual cares, then that's not a positive sign. Then it's something to be concerned about, that you are so careless. And then there is every reason for you to be filled with cares. Cares are a reality in this life. Why? Is it because God is callous and unkind? Because God loves to see people oppressed and bowed down and pulled every way by anxieties? No. Jeremiah, when he sat beside the ruins of Jerusalem, he writes in Lamentations, "God doth not willingly afflict nor grieve the children of men. He does not do so willingly. All the troubles in life which give rise to so many anxieties, all those troubles are a consequence of our sin. When we were created, we did not have a single care in the world, a single anxiety, because we had God and we had fellowship with God. We had everything our hearts could desire, but we turned our backs upon that all and we cut through that bond between us and God, and we went our own way and we plunged ourselves into misery, and now we have to fend for ourselves in this life, and we cannot do so. Because we live in a fallen world which is sighs and groans under the curse and under the judgment of God. All the troubles in your and my life are reminders of our sin which calls out for God's judgment. But then the question can come, has Christ not taken that judgment upon Himself? And why then must God come with His mighty hand upon His own people, His own children? Well, again, do they not still have sinful hearts? One day you, God's people, will be perfect and without sin. And then you will never feel the consequences of sin. God's hand will never be heavy upon you. But now you are still in this body of sin. And now you must still feel, to one degree or another, God's hand upon you, at one time or another. The wonder is not that God's hand comes upon us. The wonder is that it does not rest upon us heavier than it does. Cares may fill us due to the troubles in life, troubles which speak of our sin. But the cares which fill us in the midst of those troubles, are they not so often due to lack of trust in the Lord? Paul says in Philippians 4, be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you and I lived in that way, our hearts would not be oppressed with anxious care, even in the midst of trouble, and even under the mighty hand of God. Cares arise when you're in a situation you cannot nicely control. Much is demanded of you, and you don't have the resources to meet those demands. Or you are pulled from different directions at once, or dangers threaten you cannot prevent from coming. Cares arise when we feel our limitations and our inability. But if God, who controls everything, is your God, need you be anxious? So why are those anxieties there? It's either that we do not have God as our God, or, if we do not trust Him as we ought. That's why they persist. The Lord says, humble yourself under my mighty hand, and I will exalt you in due time. And when we do not humble ourselves, that is what makes it so difficult. And so the troubles in life are a consequence of sin, so often. And anxieties of distrust, and when that begins to sink in, then you no longer point your finger at God and say, is God unkind? Does God... No, what is the problem? Is it not me? Is it not you? Must we not humble ourselves under the hand of God? With all my cares, I am the problem. My sin calls out for God's mighty hand to come upon me heavier than it does now. My failure to trust Thee, my desire to maintain myself, I am my own problem. Then with all your cares, you can only bow in the dust and say, O Lord, Thou art just in all Thy ways and in all Thy dealings. And what does the Lord say to such people? Does He say, fend for yourself? No, He says, casting all your cares upon Me. Isn't that the most amazing word? A miserable sinner, may he throw his cares upon the God of glory? Does the Almighty God want to take upon Himself the cares of worms of the dust? Does He want to bother Himself with their problems? Cast all your cares upon Me. So we see in our second point, casting your cares on God in prayerful trust. The God who weighs His people down with affliction is the same God who calls them to throw the weight of their cares upon Him. He weighs them so that they would weigh him with their cares. Cares are a burden. I'm sure you've all tried to carry something heavy. You've had to carry something heavy. Would you want to carry that all your life? Every day, wake up, put that burden on and walk through it all your life? No, you couldn't manage that. You might be able to carry that heavy thing 10 feet, maybe 20 feet, but that's about all. Now God comes and he says, your cares are a burden, too heavy for you to bear, and therefore cast them upon me, throw them down into my hands, and I will take them and I will provide. Well, what does that mean? In the first place, casting your care upon the Lord begins by admitting that you have cares and needs. In our pride, we like to think highly of ourselves and of our abilities and that we can manage in life and we do not need help, thank you. We have a stiff upper lip and we battle on and we don't need help. We say out to others, oh, we're doing fine, but inside there's those cares. Or on the other hand, other people may look at others who have so much more, many more difficulties in life, and they may say, I have no cares to speak of, and yet they do. It begins by admitting that you have cares. But secondly, it means bringing to God all those cares. Not simply to complain of them to others in your family and to tell others what troubles you. There may be a place for that, for telling them. But to tell God all your fears and your concerns and your worries, your financial and your physical and your family and your church and your spiritual concerns. Confessing to Him you cannot continue on your own. Confessing to Him your lack of trust in Him. Confessing to Him all your fears that He will not show you His grace. Confessing to Him all your care. Psalmist says, pouring out your heart before God and saying, oh Lord, here it all is. That's what Philippians 4 says. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer let your requests be made known unto God. But then in the third place, casting involves leaving all your cares with God. That's the key. How many times haven't you and I folded our hands, bent our knees, closed our eyes, prayed to God, told Him our needs, said Amen, opened our eyes, unfolded our hands, and taken that burden of care back upon ourselves and continued on through life as if we hadn't even prayed? That's not casting your care upon the Lord. Then you're like a fisherman. He casts out his lure and he reels it in again. Casts it out, reels it in again, every time again. But to cast your care upon the Lord, it's like the throwing of a stone and it lands in the water and it's gone. How is that possible? What does that mean? It means to leave your case in His hands. Let me give you an example from Psalm 31, where the psalmist received grace to do so. There we read in that psalm, I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. Well, if anyone had reason to care, be anxious, it was the psalmist. If you knew that there were people plotting for your life, and any day or any moment a gun may go off and they may shoot you, would you be anxious as you drive, as you come home, as you leave your home? But in the very next verse, the psalmist says, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hands, not in my hands. I don't hold on to my own life. It's in thy hands. And therefore nothing shall happen to me outside of thy will." And in that way he said, "I trust in thee, I resign everything to thee, and thou shalt care for me." That is casting your cares upon the Lord, leaving them in his hand. It means trusting him to care for you and to do what is best for you. How often don't the psalmist begin with a psalmist full of need and full of care? In the one psalm it may be due to his sin, in another psalm due to sickness, or due to spiritual barrenness, or due to the enemies out around him. And he brings these things before the Lord, and he says, "Here they are." And then he cries out unto the Lord for the Lord to undertake and to the Lord to have mercy. And then he will say things like, "In thee do I trust. I have nowhere else to go, nowhere else to look, no other source of hope and expectation but in thee. And therefore I look unto thee alone." Casting your care upon the Lord. Then you, so to speak, leave them for God to address, because you cannot. And then nothing may change in your situation. There still may be that sickness. There still may be that spiritual problem. But you know that he is above everything. He knows your needs. How blessed it is, those times in the life of a child of God, when God comes so close that he may unburden himself and cast all his cares upon the Lord. When she sees that she is not alone, she needn't continue on through life alone, that God has not forgotten her, that God is so close, she may drop her cares into his hands and know that he will provide. Are there then no more difficulties in life? Oh, they're there still. But that pressing, oppressing anxiety fades away. And then there is a waiting upon the Lord. Waiting on him to show mercy, give strength and guide. Casting your care upon the Lord, then you don't attach prescriptions to God, to your requests, and conditions which he must fulfill in addressing your needs. No, you leave it in his wise, sovereign, gracious, almighty hands. Doesn't mean you no longer think about those difficulties in life or do anything about them. No, then you may go forward using the means God has given you, using the health means of doctors and medications and treatments and surgeries and all your physical concerns, using the means of grace, diligently and faithful in all your spiritual cares. And you know it doesn't depend upon the means in themselves, but upon the God who is pleased to use them. And that gives expectation. The text says so simply, casting all your cares upon him, in the way of trusting him to provide what is best for you. Do you dare bring all your cares to God in that way? All the things you worry about? What about those cares you have brought upon yourself by your own folly, your own foolishness? It can be in day-to-day life. You've bought something beyond your means. You've took on more work than you knew you could handle, and now you're at your wits' end. An accident due to your own recklessness. So spiritually you see your wayward children going astray because of your own faults as a parent. You're in spiritual darkness and you confess it's because of your own waywardness. And your anxiety about whether there could be mercy for you is because you have grieved the Spirit. Then you ask, how can I come to the Lord? It's my own fault. How can you expect help from Him when you've brought it upon yourself? But does God say you've brought it upon yourself? You have to get yourself out of it. If He did, what cares could anyone bring to the Lord? Because at the root of them all is our fall, is our sin. All would then be hopeless. But God is so gracious that He calls you to bring even these cares to Him, calling you to humble yourself before Him on account of your sin, on account of your folly, and at the same time also bringing to Him these cares. But then there are also other cares. Sinful cares. Sinful concerns in your life. Jesus calls these the cares of the world, which are like weeds which choke the seed of the word. The cares of a man who is always anxious about his bank account because he loves his money so much. The one who is always concerned about what he will eat because his God is his belly. The concern of a person who is always worried about how he or she looks, or worried about what other people think about them, because their only concern is to be popular. These are your types of concerns. And that's all. No spiritual concerns. Careless about your soul, and only full of care about your body and about your position in life. Can you bring your concerns unto God? Only one way, as sins. As sins, you cannot just come to the Lord with this problem in your life, that difficulty in your life, and ask the Lord to help you in this problem and in that difficulty. For then you would be doing this. You would be saying, O Lord, give me health, that I might live on rebelling against Thee. O Lord, give me financial means so that I might spend it on my own pleasure. O Lord, give me friends so that I would not think of Thee. If we have no spiritual concerns and have never had any spiritual concerns, and then for us to just bring this one need in our life and that one need in our life, how can we do that? We need to bring the whole of our life and the whole of your heart to the Lord and say, O Lord, I am one big need, one big concern. You need the Lord, not just for this aspect of your life and that aspect of the life, but for the whole of your life. You need Him for your soul. You need Him for your salvation. And then the Lord calls out, be concerned about how worldly, how earthly your concerns and cares are, and bring that concern unto Me for pardon, for deliverance. That is so important because the basis of casting your cares on Him is the knowledge that He cares for you. Which is our third point. Casting your cares on God because He cares for you. The end of the text. He careth for you. Before we go further, we have to ask, who does the Lord care for? In one sense, He cares for all His creation. We sing The Lord is good in all his ways. His creatures know his constant care. The Lord cares for us all in the sense that we owe everything we have apart from our sin to God. He provides us young and old with our health, with our safety, our shelter, our food, and so on. And yet when the text says he careth for you, we have to ask, who is Paul speaking to, Peter speaking to? In the first few verses of this book, it says he writes to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. God has saved them. God has drawn them to himself and covered them under the shadow of his wings, and therefore Peter may assure them that God cares for them. That means that ultimately the care of God, the loving care, the gracious care, is reserved for God's people. If you have not experienced the grace of God, not been restored into the favor of God, then you do not share in the loving care God extends to all those in his favor. Then God loads you day by day with what Paul calls the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long sufferings. But as long as these things do not bring you to repentance, then all the while you treasure up for yourself, Paul says, wrath against the day of wrath. Then you stand alone in this world without God, with all your worries, with all your concerns, with all your cares, you stand alone. Without anyone to help you but yourself and the things you possess, and maybe some friends. Alone. And then you can pray unto God when some things go wrong in your life. But as long as there's no repentance, the Lord will not hear. You may look back upon your life and you may speak of times where the Lord has provided outcome and temporal needs and the Lord has given healing and other things. But if you don't know his favor through Christ, if those things have not brought you to repentance, then you're still alone. You have no God of care. And if that is your case, then do not think that God is your servant, whom you can ignore when things go okay in life and expect to be there when things go wrong. God is not an emergency service. We don't want to see an ambulance until we're in great need and then we want it there right away. That is not how God is. God is the glorious God in heaven. And God is the one we must live for. God is the one we must be reconciled to through the blood of Christ. And only then can we be assured he will care for us every day. There's nothing that can make you make God care for you. It is only through Christ. God has provided his Son as a mediator who brings a holy God and an unclean sinner together through his blood. The Son says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says to those who confess they've offended God by their sin, those who have shut themselves out of his favor and care, those who find themselves unworthy ever to receive it, those are invited to come unto Christ, that he might bring them to God, giving them rest, giving them God's favor. The Son is still at work. He still calls, also this afternoon, that through him you might know the care of God. He is still at work drawing sinners from the misery of a life apart from God and bringing them under God's care by His blood and by His Spirit. Oh, seek Him, that through Him you may know God. For there is nothing more blessed than to know Him as your God, to care for you. For Christ's sake, the text says, He careth for you. That is something that God's people may find so very hard to believe. That the high and lofty One who inhabits eternity has a deep and a personal care for me. In the text we hear the answer. He careth for you. God says, I cared for you so much that I delivered up my own Son to death to deliver you from death and destruction and evil and everything you could possibly be anxious about. He says, even while you were an enemy, I set my love upon you. Even when you had no concern of me, for me I had a deep concern for you. And that is why I drew near to you. And that is why I filled you with anxious care about your soul. And that is why I drew you to myself and relieved all your fears and all your burdens. I care for you. He says, my child, how can you doubt my care? How can you question my care? He says, I care for you as the Almighty God. All of creation lies, so to say, in His hands. And without His will, nothing can so much as move. He gives one and He withholds from another. Health and finances and all your daily needs are in His hands. He is also the one who is able to give you strength when you are so weary that you wonder how you will be able to get through another day. He is able to do what no man can do, change and renew your very heart by His Spirit time and time again. And all this power He uses for the care of His people. If you had but a glimpse of His power, you would commit your cares to His hands. He also cares for you as the Almighty, but also the wise God. Sometimes you and me may wish we could guide our own lives, and that it would go this way and not that way. But is your life in the hands of a God who cares for you and who cannot do anything wrong because He is all wise? Has He said that all things will work together for good to those who love Him? You may not understand, but He says, I care for you as the wise God who is able to guide you, will guide you, will instruct you. He also cares as the compassionate, the gracious God who loves His people. He compares Himself to a mother who and asks, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. His compassionate care is far greater than the care of any mother here who dearly loves their newborn. He loves His own. That's why He cares. He cares so much that He afflicts them. Is that care? That His hand comes heavy upon them at times? Is that the care of God? Is that the love of God? It is. He afflicts to the point where they realize they cannot manage on them by their own anymore. and that they cannot do without him. He afflicts to the point that they humble themselves under his hand and cry out for his grace. He afflicts, his hand is heavy at times, so that they would roll the whole weight of their souls and of their cases and of their lives upon him. In dependence on him. And maybe you say, if only I could live in dependence on him. If only I could cast all my cares upon him. I know he is faithful. I know he is merciful. But I find I have no strength to do so. I take those cares back to me every day again, every time again. My friend, God knows that left to themselves, his people would never live trusting in him to supply in all their needs. He knows that. And that is why he comes. And he says that he cares for them. He says, here am I, your God. I have heard your cries. I have seen your troubles. I know your need. I will be with you to revive you, to sustain you, to provide for you, to instruct you, to be gracious to you in spite of all your sin and all your folly and all your waywardness and all your lack of trust. I am the God of salvation, who for his people cares. And in that way, he also gives grace to sing, my hand is in thy hand. Thou carest for me. My cares are his cares. Amen.